Hey, everybody, let's talk about game time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need to all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Being a marketer is no sweat. You just have to manage dozens of channels, launch hundreds of campaigns, score thousands of leads, and okay, fine, it's a lot of sweat. Unless you have HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools to help you do all that and more. Get started at HubSpot.com/marketers.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And now,
the king is in! 5 touchdown passes for Lamar!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The last 4 AFC Offensive Players of the Week have gone Derrick Henry, Lamar.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Earlier on the show,
senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer.
Coming up,
founder of John Boy Media, Jimmy O'Brien. WWE superstar, The Miz. Actor, Ted McGinley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 2 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. It is a day in which Daniel Jeremiah and Jeff Passan are joining us. Not what you may have just heard on your radio or your television set, but you can call us nonetheless at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. We've already hit on the Cowboys looking very mediocre again against the San Francisco 49ers team that has some nice new life heading into its bye week. We talked about the Hail Mary that allowed the Commanders to overcome a furious fourth quarter. Caleb Williams, one of his best quarters yet as a pro, and I know they lost, but he looked terrific in that fourth quarter. The Bears lost. We talked about Anthony Richardson saying he was tired. There's been a trade going down in the National Football League. The Chiefs just added Josh Uche to their defense from the New England Patriots, so we'll discuss that. Hour number 3, Jeff Passan will join us as I just laid bare the heartbreak I suffered with my 13-year-old son to my right as the Dodgers beat the Yankees in Game 1 of the World Series. They're up 2-0 tonight. Walker Buehler versus Clark Schmidt in the Bronx, New York. Jeff Passan will join us from New York City. Joining us right now at the top of hour number 2 is my colleague from the NFL Network and NFL Media Group, and I saw him on game day morning on the set before he went across the street and was part of the local radio broadcast of the Chargers taking care of business against the New Orleans Saints. Daniel Jeremiah back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, DJ?
Good to see you, buddy. Did you actually go to, were you at game 1?
I was
just watching at home.
I was indeed.
Oh, you were there. You stayed through the whole thing?
Yeah, so when you were smarming at me on the air, it actually hurt even more.
I almost feel bad. I almost feel bad. But just know this, Rich. Outside of the Yankee fandom, yes, there's no fan base rooting harder for the Yankees than the Padres.
I bet you so.
So just know that we share some frustration with the way things have unfolded through 2 games.
Well, the tent's large enough. We welcome you to it. Have you had a chance to watch the film of Commanders and Bears, because I know you were in the booth during that game for the Chargers and the Saints, and I'm wondering what you gleaned from it, DJ.
Yeah, I went through that this morning, Rich. Let's start on the Daniels side of things first, and
sure,
then we'll get over to Caleb and to the Bears. Look, Jaden Daniels, even against a great defense like that, and I know they didn't result in touchdowns early on in that game, but they moved the ball well. The poise, it just still jumps off the screen when you watch him. You know, everything can be kind of chaotic around him. He's really still able to kind of keep that little heartbeat and able to escape and make some plays. They had, 4 big drops when you're watching it. So as good as his stat line was, could have been even better with some of the plays and some of the throws that he was making there. I do love the offense that they have him in. I think Cliff is doing a wonderful job of just kind of mixing things up with giving him some some easy throws, some tunnel screens, hit some spot routes, and then just kind of picking your spots when to push the ball down the field. And he is incredibly accurate You know, side note, I don't know if, you know, everybody knows the end of that game, but Terry McLaurin, when I was trying to figure out who he ran by for the big go ball earlier in the game, it was Tyreek Stevenson. Not a great day. Not a great day for him. But he was, Jaden was awesome. And, you know, the end of the game, we'll get to that in a moment. But you flip over to Caleb. I thought early on in this game, you know, everybody that had watched it on TV that had talked to me, because I, as you said, I'm calling a Charger game, so I don't see it as it's happening. They're like, I thought Caleb was too amped up, you know, early in the game and was missing some throws, and then he played better down the stretch. And when I watched it, I actually came away thinking, you know, Caleb, he was so concerned about making a mistake. You know, I think he did not want to make that catastrophic mistake. When you call, you know, they got like a swing screen. They don't get the defensive end cut. It's a touch throw, but you can kind of get it over the defensive end and you might have something. He just held the ball, took a sack. There was a couple other times where there's defenders in the way. He just kind of airmailed it. He was trying to be a little too careful with that. And then if he didn't trust things were there, he was running around trying to make plays. I thought as the game went on, especially you get deeper into the fourth quarter, he stood in there and he took some chances and let it rip and did some really nice things to get them in front at the end of the game there. So I came away with both young quarterbacks, first and second picks. I was very impressed with what I saw from both of them.
And then that throw at the end, right? Jaden Daniels, the throw at the end. Honestly, with bad ribs, I'm like, is he going to really throw it 60-something yards in the air? Yeah, he threw it 60-something yards in the air. I mean, that actually happened. Yeah. And that just adds to an air of inevitability and invincibility, right? And how that, you know, that dictates so many more wins potentially in the future, how everybody's going to never feel like they're down or out, or they'll follow him to the moon and back right now.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say he's got the locker room, he's got the organization, and he's got their entire fan base right now. I mean, I've got a brother-in-law who's been a lifelong fan of this team, and I was reminded of it because I almost forgot for the last decade. But he is, he is very excited. This has brought some juice to this entire organization and Washington universe here. And you start looking at it, Rich, and I'm like, if this is as good as he is right now, you know, what's this going to look like when Adam Peters has a chance to shape this roster around him and what he does well, and they get some more playmakers around him? It's exciting. He's been fun to watch. And I, you know, I don't want to take anything away from Caleb either, because I thought Caleb, after, you know, getting beat up and hit a bunch and maybe being a little too careful and a little too fine, he made some big time throws, man. When he hangs in there and gets hit right in the chest late in that game and has about a 30-yard completion down the left sideline, I'm like, okay, that is these are big boy throws. And at the end of the game, you know, there's a lot of ways to go at that with things that were wrong on the Bears side of things. I went back and looked, you know, just kind of going through the whole game. It was interesting. They were in the same situation, and I posted this right before the half, where they have they're at the 49-yard line. Chicago's 49 with 8 seconds left. Chicago protects the sideline with three defenders on each side, knowing that, okay, 15 yards puts them in field goal range. We're not going to allow them to get a free 15 to get points here. And that's with 8 seconds left. Then you go to the end of the game. There's 6 seconds left. They're at the Washington 35. And I mean, as I'm watching the tape, I'm like, okay, well, you know the goal here. The goal is to get towards midfield so you have a shot at a Hail Mary. So you've already proven this defense. You can trot that out there, protect the sidelines. Do not let them get within Hail Mary range. And they came out in a totally different look and just gave up the sidelines and gave up a free 15, which allows the final play to happen. So I didn't know what the thought process was there. I guess they're thinking 6 seconds isn't enough time to advance the ball 10 to 15 yards, when it seems like that's plenty of time to get that accomplished.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. Jaden Daniels has company in being 5-1 in his last six. His name's Bo Nix. What are you seeing out of him in Denver? I mean, there's no pictures in the standings and the stat sheet. Yeah. And, you know, the Broncos don't have many players on fantasy leagues across the league right now. But Bo Nix is getting it done. What are you seeing out of him and Sean Payton that you think is potentially sustainable and even improvable, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, look, I was there for the one loss, so I probably didn't have the best exposure up there in the Charger game, where he was kind of a little bit flummoxed early in that game. Again, the Chargers have number one scoring defense in the NFL, so that's part of it. And then later in that game, you saw him use his legs and kind of made it competitive. I haven't had a chance to watch this game against Carolina, but you know, he's got some, he's, you know, this sounds cliche, Rich. He's got like some of those kind of winner traits, though. He just ultra, ultra competitive, ultra tough. This is a defensive team with outstanding personnel on the defensive side of the ball. They are excellent on that side of the ball. And then he kind of gives them enough of the, you know, the playmaking ability to just go out and make a few plays, try not to turn the football over, and you can win some ball games. So they've stumbled on a formula here. I definitely think it still goes to the defense. But Sean Payton really likes him, and he's, you know, he's going to continue to build this thing and grow with him on that side of the ball. But they've, you know, they're going to need to continue to roster build on offense.
So Anthony Richardson saying he was tired. He wasn't going to lie. I was tired is why he came out. I already saw your facial expression, but what's your voiced opinion on hearing that from last year's fourth overall pick? DJ,
You know, this is why the game is such a crazy game, because you'll see something every week that you've never seen before. I've never seen that. I mean, I've never seen that at the high school level. I've never seen it at the college level. I've never seen it at the pro level. I've never seen a quarterback tap out because he was tired. So that's, I'm sure that's a conversation that just takes place. It sounds like you're being harsh and being cruel, but that can't happen. You can't do that. You don't get to ask out of the game when you're tired at the quarterback spot. You just can't do it.
Certainly when there's a damn near 40-year-old that's back there that does appear to have a better control of the offense and certainly more production of the offense. And again, I'm with you. It does sound, you know, like you're piling on and so forth. And
have you ever seen it before?
Nope. I have not. Yeah. I have not. Or we may have seen it, but we've never seen somebody go to the podium and say, I got to be honest with you, I was tired. You know what I mean? And I always want somebody to be honest at the podium. I mean, that's great for us in our business. We kind of demand it. We seek it out. But so when you say there's a conversation, can you give me even an idea, a glimpse inside of who's in that conversation and what that conversation is like, Daniel?
Well, I'm sure it's probably, you know, the person who would be great to come from would be Joe Flacco, to be honest, someone who's played forever. And I can imagine, while I haven't seen this happen, I bet you there's been some times in the past where a quarterback, you'd be better off say, I didn't get the play call. I couldn't hear the play call. I had to burn a timeout. Like, there's other ways. Or if, like, you literally can't catch your breath and can't get it up to the line of scrimmage, there's probably ways to kind of get around that situation and get the same thing accomplished without doing that. So, you know, I would imagine from a coaching staff standpoint, they would talk to him like, hey, just you know, let somebody know, we'll run, you know, if we need to run the ball, we'll run the ball, whatever we need to do to kind of give you a little bit of a blow there. But it's not a good look when you come running off the field.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did we see the Browns offense the way we thought it would be with Jameis? You know what I mean? Like, it's always the popular guy, the backup, when the starter isn't doing well. And then Jameis comes in and he throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns without Amari Cooper there. And Cedric Tillman starts catching balls, you know, like he's CeeDee Lamb. You know, it's kind of crazy. DJ, did we see it? Is that it right there for Cleveland?
Well, I feel like we've seen it before. We saw it with Joe Flacco. You know, we've seen it with, unfortunately, for Deshaun, we've seen it with everybody not named Deshaun Watson, who's got a chance to operate in this offense. It just is what it goes back to what we've been saying for a couple years, that, you know, it's not everybody's been obsessed with the talent. Deshaun's talent just kind of fell off. And in fact, I think it was just a terrible fit. The way he played in Houston is totally different than how they want to play there. Now they tried eventually to change and adapt to what he does well. But now you got a coaching staff that's not as comfortable calling games that way. And now you go back to what this offense is and should be. And it's based around a drop back passer. And that's what Jameis and Joe Flacco are. And the offense is taken off. So, I mean, I don't know that it's entirely surprising that Jameis had that kind of success, because, you know, you guys, the first pick in the draft too. I mean, he had big time talent and ability. I think what comes down to so many of these quarterback situations is just, how do you fit? How do you marry it up? How do you fit? And Deshaun Watson and the Browns, you know, it's been a bad fit. And Jameis and Joe Flacco match what they do and how they want to play.
Mm. What's wrong with the Jets?
What time are you off, Rich? I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't watched the tape of that one yet. I haven't had time yet to watch it, so it wouldn't be fair for me to comment on what happened yesterday. I just know there's a lot of individually talented players on that team, and collectively it hasn't worked great, you know. So
what have you seen on film already of Rodgers? I mean, I know, again, you didn't look at yesterday. It kind of is the same thing. How about that? It's the same thing. Where there's flashes of Breece Hall, flashes of Garrett Wilson, flashes of the Rodgers of old, and defensively, I don't know, Sauce Gardner looks like he's regressed, to be straight up with you, DJ. I don't know, but what's your best guess as to what ails this team?
Yeah, I mean, the elephant in the room is I don't think Rodgers has played great, you know. I think there was almost collectively, maybe on the defensive side of the ball, you know, gosh, we've had to play so perfect, you know, over the last few years for us to win football games. And I think whether it was just subconsciously or not, they just kind of exhaled a little bit, like, okay, we have the quarterback now, like we don't have to play at that level. Let's ease some of the burden and some of the stress. So you've dropped off a little bit on the defensive side of the ball, and then the offensively, they haven't exploded like people expected they would, you know, with some of the star power that they have. Aaron hasn't played great. My biggest takeaway with the Jets has come more from watching them on TV than it has on tape, which is just, you know, it's body language. It's just kind of the mood of the team, the lack of energy. It just, that spoke more to me than anything in the all 22 that you've watched.
Your best guess, if the Lions played the Chiefs right now, who would win?
Well, my best guess is that the Lions would win because I think they're the more complete team. They're the more dynamic team. But I've learned many years ago that I will, even if everything in my mind logically points me in the direction of the Detroit Lions, I have installed a security system that stops those words from exiting my mouth and just says, just say Chiefs. Like that's the fallback. Just say Chiefs.
They are 7-0. First time in the Mahomes era. You know, there's no pictures in the standings. And it's just, it seems to be, I don't want to say a struggle each week, but it's not pretty. That said, offensively is where I'm referring to, obviously not defensively. Offensively, it does appear their last two games are beginning to put a little bit of a pedal to the metal. And you think DeAndre Hopkins is a good fit there, right? I mean, just like everybody else on the planet, or is this one of those we'll have to wait and see in your estimation?
I think when you have the best director of a movie and you have the best leading star of a movie, like any actor you throw in there is going to be a good fit, Rich. So I don't know that DeAndre Hopkins, after watching all his targets from earlier this year, if you plop him into the other, you know, 30 teams, if you'd be very excited about that. But with the Chiefs, Andy will figure it out. They'll get him on mesh routes, they'll free him up, they'll clean him up, and then, you know, he'll be able to catch everything in sight. So yeah, everybody fits with the Kansas City Chiefs. As someone who calls Charger games, I'm careful to say this, but it was so, they were such a fun watch back in the day, you know, and I just have to get comfortable with the fact that they've found other ways to win football games. Their defense is awesome, but the high flying Chiefs, I think that might be history, but it doesn't seem to matter. They just found a different formula to win football games.
In the last few minutes I have with you, Daniel Jeremiah, tell me the team that we're not talking about enough, that is outstanding, and I can give you some choices if you'd
I've got
like
Buffalo
them.
All queued up.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo, the rest of the division's falling apart. So in some ways, they're going to get some games. I want to say easy games. You know, Tua's back now in Miami, and we'll see what happens with the Jets. But they have a chance to go on a nice run. And Josh Allen is dialed in. Khalil Shakir is starting to play a real key role for them. Dalton Kincaid's been what I hoped he would be when he was coming into the draft process. And defensively, they have a really good culture there, and they've been able to infuse a lot of new players. And I think you're going to see that continue to get better as the year goes along. And I go back to the fact, if we were to have an open draft in the NFL and you could draft any player in the league, Mahomes probably going to be the first pick, and Josh Allen, I would say, you know, with Lamar Jackson, those are the top three guys. When you've got one of those three guys, you got a chance to do some special things.
I got a text from Andrew Whitworth yesterday, because it was the segment we were doing from Game Day Morning, where I said I didn't want to jinx Josh Allen by talking about the number of interceptions that he had, and I held up the O, and then he threw his first one. I got a text from him, you know, saying I did it. You know, it was my fault.
You didn't technically do it.
No, I didn't.
You avoided it. Yeah.
I did. I tried, but then, you know, then I did jinx him. So you named the Bills. Would the Packers be that version in the NFC?
Yeah, I want to see, I think that the way Jordan Love's played is, you know, big plays, but then sprinkled in with some turnovers. He's got to play a little more clean if they're going to run the gauntlet, you know, as you get into the postseason.
Or play more like Malik Willis. How does that sound?
Yeah, there you go. I know.
Undefeated Malik Willis. He came in, he threw a beautiful ball to Reed, and he's been terrific in the times he's gotten in there.
No, I'm happy for him. I mean, everybody tells a story about Malik Willis at the combine, right? And the video of him. I can just speak to the fact that he was on my flight going there and sat next to him. And we were near the back of the plane, Rich, but he sat next to me, and I had told him, I introduced myself, and I was going to let him kind of do his thing on the flight. And he sat there and we talked for like an hour straight. And one of those guys in that position who's just asking all the questions, you know, he's such a good kid. He's inquisitive. He wants to be good. So it's easy to root for him, and happy to see when he has been given opportunities at stop number two. He's shown a lot of promise, because he is a great dude.
DJ, really appreciate the time as always with you.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, thanks, just buddy. Get game three. We get game three, and then now the pressure starts to go the other way.
Yeah,
let's
right.
go.
Okay. Thanks, Daniel. I feel better now. Thanks for the pep talk.
Okay, tell Patson I said hello.
You got it. That's an hour three. Daniel Jeremiah right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Bills, he didn't stutter.
Bills look good. Josh Allen, your betting favorite for MVP right now.
Is that right? Because Lamar loses a game.
Can't lose that game if you're the Ravens.
Okay. All right. Understood. Can't win them all either.
Josh Allen goes on the road in the 12s,
dude,
in the rain.
The rain.
Look miserable.
I know, right?
As a fan, but yeah.
All right, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's talk a little bit of Chiefs. We'll talk a little bit of the Cardinals, the NFC West. Get you set for Monday Night Football with the Steelers. That's all still to come.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding.
See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
So Jim Cameron wrote, "I'll be back." Mm-hmm. And I said to him, I said, "I don't like the way I sound when I say, I'll be back." I didn't quite understand the L thing.
Okay.
Being German speaking. And he said, "Well, just say the way it says, I'll be back." And I said, "Well, I'd rather say, I will be back." Mm-hmm. Sounds more machine-like. And he says, "All right." He says, "But I mean, are you the writer or am I the writer of the script?" And he says, "Well, you're the writer." And he says, "Well, then don't tell me how to write." He says, "I don't tell you how to act." He says, so let's just keep that going like that. He says, let's do 10 takes if I'll be back. And you pick the one that you like. And that's the one that we do. And that's the one that we keep in the movie. And that's exactly what we did. But the interesting thing about it was, no matter how much we argued about this, which we had daily kind of talks like that, it was a line that no one thought would be ever repeated again.
Really?
Because no one thought this is going to be one of those lines that people will repeat. And so when the movie came out, I remember I was in New York. And the guy came up to me after the screening. He says, "Oh, Arnold, I'm a big fan of yours. I love your bodybuilding career. He says, can you repeat the line, 'I'll be back?'" And I said, "I'll be back." And he says, no, the way you say it in the movie. And then I said, "I'll be back." He says, yeah. That's it. Oh, my God. And he ran off. I mean, like a crazy guy, right? And then it happened again and again and the next day again. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, "Wow, this is kind of weird." So I called Jim Cameron. I said, "This 'I'll be back' line." I said, "I think he was so right." I said, because it wouldn't have been that cool if I would have said, "I will be back."
All of Arnie's appearance is on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. So, when Aaron Rodgers came to the Jets, all of the previous Jet issues, all of the previous same old Jets stuff was supposed to be gone. That's why Robert Saleh said famously a couple summers ago that he has a list of people who are basically saying same old Jets, this stuff, that, right? Remember, there's a lot of pushback and he's like, "Oh, no, there's not really any list." But I didn't blame him for having that sort of swagger. That's what a defensive minded coach who's got swagger. And that's why you were hired, to bring some swagger, although not Rex Ryan's swagger, but some confidence that unfortunately wasn't there, you know, when all things started going down the tubes last year, despite starting 4-3 without Aaron Rodgers last year. You gotta give it up to Robert Saleh for doing that, right? At least I'd like to think so. And on top of it, bringing something together again, running it back again, kind of made sense too. Because Rodgers is supposed to get rid of all the same old Jets stuff. And honestly, what was more same old Jets than all that hope being put into the Rodgers basket only to have his Achilles rip just 5 plays into the season? And then the 4-3 stuff was a mirage before Zach Wilson fell apart again and they benched him, brought him back. All that craziness. Just run it back again, though. Why not? Nothing's more difficult and disappointing than having a plan, going all in on that plan, and then having the plan completely fall apart with no real options left. Dallas is kind of in that situation right now. Kind of in that situation, but they're 3-4. They're still in the mix. And Jerry's not going to just fire the coach just to fire the coach, even though a lot of Dallas fans are asking for it right now. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But the Jets did it. After losing in London. Jets did it.
they fired their head coach and handed the reins over to a guy who's never done it before and say, hey, now you've got more responsibility. And on top of it, let's get you Davante Adams, Jeff Ulbrich. Let's get you Hassan Reddick. Let's handle that business as well. And then let's lose the next 3-2. I have been around the block, as you know, talking about this team for quite some time. Been around this block. But nothing I can imagine. I'm trying to think of it. More of a disappointing Jets team than this current one. Tough to fathom it. When you've got Aaron Rodgers healthy again, and you've got Garrett Wilson, and you've got Sauce Gardner, your offensive and defensive rookies of the year of 2 years ago playing. You've got Quinnen Williams and his brother, Quincy, who is terrific. You've got Will McDonald, who you drafted, and he's been balling out at the top. He's one of the top sackers in the league. You redid your offensive line. You've got Breece Hall. You got that kid from Wisconsin who's 20 years old who can run over you. You got Alan Lazard. Now you add Davante Adams and you add Hassan Reddick, and all of it's just falling to crap. And then you go into New England, which lives for moments like this when it comes to the Jets. They, you know, listen, I shouldn't say that. They live for championships there. That's what they live for. They live for championships and hanging banners and, you know, and crazy training and then having the Minutemen firing off muskets and stuff like that. That's what they live for. But outside of that, like if you asked Patriots fans, what do you live for? You live for sticking it to the Jets when they are stickable and reeling. And out goes Drake May with a concussion. In comes Jacoby Brissett, who you dominated in week three. And they win the football game because the Jets make too many mistakes. And when they are throwing it down the field, sometimes Rodgers is inaccurate. Other times Rodgers is accurate. The receiver's not looking or not catching, or Rodgers doesn't have time, or the play calling's off. And then defensively, when the defense needs to stop and be its all-world defense, they turn into pedestrian defenders. They can't put it all together. And they're out of moves. What are you going to do? Fire the interim coach? Get the interim to the interim?
Yes.
Create a position like George Costanza? You know, the assistant to the interim coach? Now you're the interim coach? You're the interim to the assistant?
Can't be any worse.
Aaron Rodgers had this to say after the game.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there. Make peace with it. Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams. But if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
I mean, belief in his teammates, belief in the offense, that's all well and good. But that and a Metro card will get you on the subway right now.
Price is going up.
That'll get you on the subway.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there will be some Jet fans that, you know, don't want to hear the shaman talk, but that's who you have in Rodgers. That's who he's going to bring, that sort of spiritualness, and hopefully it can catch fire in that locker room. But I'll tell you what, where if you're sick and tired of hearing about the Jets, and I believe many of you are, you're one of them. I understand. If you're sick and tired of hearing about the Jets, well, you got five more days left. Five more days left because the Jets have yet another nationally televised game coming. They're going to take their five-game losing streak into MetLife Thursday night against the 6-2 Houston Texans. And, hey, the Jets, amongst all of the crap last year, did beat the Houston Texans in this very situation last year. Halloween night, trick or treat for the team that was 2-1 for the first time above 500 through 3 weeks since 2015 and have followed it up with a five-game losing streak chock full of pull-your-hair-out moments, like they couldn't even get a yard against the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix to going over to London and having mistakes happen in the fourth quarter against the Minnesota Vikings, to the Buffalo Bills sticking with them long enough until you fall flat, the Sunday nighter against Pittsburgh where you let Russ cook like it's basically the Super Bowl in MetLife, and then at New England where the Patriots stick it to you. And you want to talk about patently disappointing. Take a look at the AFC standings right now. You know what's missing from the screen, from the division, the wild card, and sniffing it? The New York Jets and the 2-5 Dolphins are on it at the 10th.
Because they've had their bye week already, right?
Because guess what? Guess what? The 2-6 Jets currently are in last place in the AFC East. Because they're equally 2-6 with the Patriots, and they're in last place in the AFC East right now. And the only team that they're above in the conference rankings are a Tennessee Titans team that had a 50-burger put on them before the third quarter was up in Detroit. That's the only team the Jets can look down and say hello to right now. In the National Football League American Football Conference right now, the thoroughly disappointing 2-6 Jaguars, the wildly disappointing up until just this week 2-6 Browns, the 100% going into the season everybody thought worst team in the AFC New England Patriots are all above the Jets through 8 weeks. And the Jets are on their interim head coach. Who would want to come work for this team right now? That's going to be a tough sell for Woody Johnson once he does begin to start looking for the next one. Because the way things are going right now, Jeff Ulbrich isn't going to be the next Antonio Pierce going on a run and having the locker room cape for him, unfortunately. That's the state of the New York Jets through 8 weeks. Season-long storyline arc. Oh, Rodgers is back. He's got Garrett Wilson. It's Breece Hall, who's chosen maybe first, second, or third in your fantasy leagues, right? You know, the Jets defense, everybody's choosing them in their fantasy leagues because it's chock full of stars, and Robert Saleh's going to get this thing done. Oh, smash cut to week eight, going into the Thursday nighter against the 6-2 Houston Texans. They're 2-6, 15th in the American Football Conference. Talk about patently, thoroughly disappointing. And for the Jets, that's saying a lot. And in terms of the Buffalo Bills, going into week 9, through week 8, the Buffalo Bills can essentially find a local printer in the Western New York area and say, you want to make up some playoff tickets? This thing's over. Isn't that amazing for me to actually be able to say that? But how am I wrong on that front in the AFC East? How am I wrong? The team that's closest to them are the 2-5 Dolphins. They've already beaten them in Miami. The next closest team is the 2-6 Patriots, who they're going to face two of the last three games of the season.
Right.
And then you got the Jets, who can't throw a cat out of the house right now. Figuratively, of course. And this thing's a wrap.
Just don't eat the cat.
And they went up to Seattle yesterday. I mean, Seattle's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team right now, where they'll have a world. They'll start 3-0 and only give up 175 yards passing in three of those in all three of those games. First time since the 79 Steelers we've seen that. Then they'll lose 3-0, go to Atlanta, win that game, then go home and lose a second consecutive home game to a team. Well, this one's from New York, Bills fans. The other one has New York in its name. The Giants beat them there the last time they took the field there. And the Bills now, it's the 14th time they've started the season with a 6-2 record. They've made the playoffs in each of the previous 13 seasons. They're now 6-2 for the fourth time in the Josh Allen era. They didn't start with a 6-2 or better record from 1994 all the way to 2018. How's Josh Allen changed the franchise fortunes? There's your answer. They've won each of their last three games after losing two in a row. So in the same way that the Jets lost two in a row and then went completely down the tubes, losing three more in a row, the Bills now have their second three-game winning streak of the season. They started with one. Now they're on one. They've now won four games by 21 or more points in 2024. So when they get up on you, you're not getting back at them. They start beating you up. Print playoff tickets. And you know who's feeling it? The Bills Mafia. That apparently, this is a first. I've been covering the National Football League, as you know, since 2003 at NFL Network. I've never heard a Seattle Seahawk say what you're about to hear Geno Smith have to say after losing to the Bills in Seattle, in the rain, in an environment that normally, that means Seattle's about to beat up on you. This is what he had to say afterwards.
Hats off to Buffalo. They came in, they beat us at home. Their fans traveled well. You know, it was real loud in there. Kind of felt like we were on the road at times. So they came out, they fought, they beat us. And, you know, we can say we made mistakes, but they capitalized.
Have you ever heard that?
Never. Mm-hmm.
Normally it's the 12s, be that quick. You know, you're gonna have all your, you're the one with the pre-snap penalties. You're the one that's gonna make the mistakes because the fans are so damn loud. Have you heard that?
Never.
Mm-mm. Nope.
They brought the flaming folding tables all the way to the Northwest.
Get them out west.
Dude.
I've never heard that before.
Never.
And you know, Niner fans travel. Hey, everybody travels. Jeez. Print playoff tickets in Western New York. They're going to host one. And the only question is can they beat the Chiefs when they see them? And can the Chiefs lose enough in addition for the Bills to go catch them for the one seed? They did lose to Houston. That's the issue. But there's a lot more football to be played, right? Nine more games?
A lot of football left.
But the Bills, it's over. One division is over already, folks. You can say the AFC South is another one of them. Because the Texans just swept the Colts, and that's the only team that's going to catch them. You can make that case that the AFC West might be done, too.
Yeah, stick the fork.
But this one is the only one you can absolutely say we're printing playoff tickets, and congratulations. Another AFC East title for the Bills, exactly when everybody thought they weren't going to do it, either. And I was one of them. Hey, but at least the team that I thought that would win the division, they're a second-place team right now. That's one way to say it. The other one is they're 2-5. Yeah. And Tua comes back and the Dolphins got beat by the Cardinals, who are coming for everybody right now.
But they look better doing it. And I think, yeah, you lose. You want to win that one. You lose at the buzzer. But the offense looked better. Tyreek Hill involved. Devin Achane had a huge game. Tua, I mean, he had a run play where everyone was kind of holding their breath.
I was the same way.
But
no, there are positives.
Yeah, but, a lot of positives.
2-5 right now. You're 10th in the conference. This is you've dug yourself a hole.
For sure.
And the Bills, congrats. Another AFC East championship. You can hang the bat. Maybe they should bat. Is their next game at home?
Hang the banner.
Oh, it's against the Dolphins. Well, you know what? Don't hang the banner before the game. You might piss them off. You can just do it afterwards because then they'll sweep Miami. Talk about must win for the Dolphins. Oof. Week 9. They're already in must win mode. Unbelievable. Let's take a break. We'll talk Jameis when we come back.
Yeah.
Before Jeff Passan joins us to talk about games 3 through 5, star if necessary, of the World Series.
Hey, everybody, let's talk about game time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas. So you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about so you get to see your total upfront with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What is the furthest you've ever thrown a football, Josh?
The furthest was in Wyoming, so I did get a little assistance from the elevation.
Yes.
But it was right around 83 yards.
Right around. Yeah. Right around 83.
Yeah.
Are we rounding up or are we rounding down to the 83, Josh?
We were probably rounding up just a little bit, but yeah, 83 was that was the number.
So, I don't know. I'm looking up to see if you're playing in Denver at all so you can play, you can get a little bit of some altitude. Can you do that in an NFL game, you think?
I mean, there was one game, I think it was my rookie year against the Dolphins. I threw a ball dang near as hard as I can, and my receiver was 60, 70 yards downfield, and I overthrew him just by a little bit.
you airmailed him.
I did, and that was just one of those, like, I didn't feel like I threw it as hard as I could, but my hip fired so hot, and it just came out of my hand extremely well, and it was spinning, and it was a little warm in Miami, so it might have flown a little farther, but it was just one of those that just kind of even blew me off guard, so... Something I've toned down a little bit, though, and I feel like I've got a little more control on my ball right now.
Oh, understood. No, accuracy is something that you definitely have improved on, as we have seen. So let's just walk me through this. At some point during a game in your career, let's just say it could even happen this weekend against New England, where you have to throw a Hail Mary to win it. At what yardage do you say to your coach, I still got this. Give it to me. Your own what?
We're like, I know I can get the ball in the air. And get it probably a good 4 or 5 yards even end zone, probably around the 35.
Your own 35?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, you're probably going to have to avoid a rush a little bit, even if they're coming at you with three man. You're going to have to roll out a little bit. So right around your own 30-something yard line, you can get it in there. You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Unbelievable. All right. Check it all out. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. And so much to discuss. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We promise we will unload the phone banks in hour number three best we can. During the Deshaun Watson reign this year of the Cleveland Browns, there was a large contingent of the fan base, as well as, I think, the punditry, that he needed to sit and needed to see what Jameis Winston can do in the same manner of we saw what Joe Flacco did last year, right? I think it was a general consensus. I'm not telling any tales out of school, am I? Right?
Well, right? Yeah, accurate.
Okay. So that day came yesterday, and unfortunately for Watson, it came because he was injured for the rest of the season with an Achilles injury. But honestly, the most popular player on a team frequently is the backup quarterback, right?
Always.
And the most popular guy in punditry is usually the head coach who's got a ring in his pocket and everybody thinks should be their next head coach. See Belichick, Bill right now and Peyton, Sean. And also previous to that, Cowher, Bill, who decided to say, I'm just going to sit here on the set and live my life. And so many times when you clamor for the backup quarterback, you wind up, what?
Getting it?
Well, or on the other side, the FAFO?
Yeah.
Can,
let me grab my
DJ's chart. Where is the chart?
Right here. We got the chart. Sometimes when you F around,
yeah, you find out.
Actually, you find out.
Yeah. And those who might not know what I meant, to quote Coach Cignetti, Google it. But you got it yesterday. And when you get Jameis, you get all of Jameis, man.
That's what you want.
This was CBS capturing his pregame speech to the team before taking on the Ravens.
I believe.
Me too.
I believe.
Me too.
I believe.
Listen,
eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what the Lord got for the Cleveland Browns.
Come on.
Okay? We don't have to see instant gratification. We don't have to see something good after folks. We got to believe.
Yes, sir.
We got to have that unwavering faith.
Come on.
I got that.
Come on.
All right. You got one opportunity.
Right?
I mean, I woke up feeling cheesy, Coach. Like, I'm fired up. That was awesome.
I mean, that was great because Annie Up was playing by M.O.P. in the background.
Right?
So that song always gets you hyped. So I was sitting here bobbing like he was actually spitting bars.
That well, guess what? You know who else was believing or made to believe?
His team.
David Njoku, 5 catches, 79 receiving yards and a touchdown. Jerry Jeudy. Was one of 3 Cleveland players of the season high in receiving yards in week 8. He had 79. Another one is Elijah Moore, 8 catches, 12 targets, 85 yards. Cedric Tillman. I'm going to go out on a limb and say is available in your fantasy league.
Cedric the Entertainer Tillman.
99 receiving yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. That's career highs. You know how many career receiving touchdowns he had entering week 8?
None.
0. Point 0. Full Blutarski.
0.0.
And he had the most receiving yards by a Browns player in 2024. 99 of them. Oh, and Jameis Winston. How did he do? First Cleveland player with 300 or more passing yards, 3 or more touchdowns, and 0 interceptions since Jacoby Brissett did it in 2022. Pardon me. Now that he did have an interception absolutely dropped by Kyle Hamilton, who's an all-pro player, who normally give him 9 more shots at it, will grab that one and seal the deal for the Ravens.
One of your sons, by the way.
But he didn't catch it. Nor did Zay Flowers catch one that went right off. Oh, pardon me, it was Aguilar? Or was it Bateman? That one goes straight off his grill in the sunlight. Things happened.
Yeah, Bateman, I think. Yeah.
This was, and the Browns win. The Browns beat the Ravens.
Say it again?
The Browns beat the Ravens.
Yeah, they owe me some money.
And I'll tell you, man, the Browns defense was all over Lamar Jackson. Right? I mean, the Grim Reaper apparently went to some Hollywood makeup artist and say, make me up as the Terminator so I can walk into the building on our pre-Halloween game. And that's how Myles Garrett showed up to Cleveland. And he showed up like the Terminator and the Grim Reaper together. And they balled out. And the Browns win. The Browns beat the Ravens. The Browns snapped the Ravens 5-game win streak. If the Steelers beat the Giants tonight, the Steelers are in first place entering week 9. Jameis had this to say after the game.
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road. But, man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Yep. What do you think? Amazing, right?
It's amazing. It's amazing, too, because we've been talking about it for a month. I did it on Overreaction. All the other shows have been talking about it. You know, let's see what Jameis has got. Let's see how he looks out there. I mean, it can't be any worse, right, than what Deshaun's been doing. Oh, no, it was 100 times better.
And, Browns fans are feeling it right now, and rightfully so, because they thought this was still in them. They thought that they could have these types of moments if Jameis got out there, and this is not a slagging on Deshaun Watson. They thought that it could look like Flacco last year, and Stefanski did hand the play calling off, right? And but they also feel with the interception that got dropped and the easy reception for the Ravens that got dropped and the way that the Browns played, They think Jim Donovan, the longtime broadcaster for the Browns who just passed away, had a hand in it. That somebody was guiding the ship from above. And Jameis is that spiritual guy who can feel like he's channeling somebody else, whether it's Eminem or Jim Donovan. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy.
Right.
But crazy sometimes comes up with W's and eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Browns beat the Ravens.
Wow.
What another wild result from week 8, the one in Cleveland. And then you know who was also believing it? The Miz.
Yeah.
He came on and said they're going to win 10 in a row to finish the season. And right now, tell me what he said when we had him play the win-loss game from here on out. Tell me what he said was wrong. Here's what he had to say about the Ravens. Home for Baltimore. What happens this weekend?
We're at home.
Yeah, I know.
Baltimore.
You got Winston.
We do.
And I don't.
I don't think they. So they don't have tape on Winston this year.
No.
They have previous tapes long time ago. Oh, they don't have this year's tape.
He's going to sneak up on the Ravens.
Chubb is back. The rust is off.
And
the defense is going to be able to stop Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, who might be the MVP of the league. And so, the offensive player of the league is going to be Henry.
Yeah.
We're going to beat him.
There you go.
We're
going to
beat him at home.
It's a win.
We are going to beat him at home.
All right. And as soon as the game ended, I got this text from the Miz. That's one. Look at the time. It's 4:17 Eastern.
Literally, as
Lamar's final incompletion hit the ground, my phone buzzed. He might have had it. I think he might have had it like
just
set
locked,
up.
Just like ready to go.
That's one. So with each passing Browns week with Jameis starting, because by the way, he was named the starter. This just in. We're going to see if the Miz is right, because next up is Jim Harbaugh. He's going for both. They're going for both. Jameis is going for both Harbaughs.
Eating dubs.
Before taking a bye and taking a break, and then who knows what's next?
Who knows?
Bingo. All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
A father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, B-L-E-A-V, wherever you listen.